Good to be back. Such a fine group. Last week I was able to, Diane and I were able to go down to around Atlanta and went to the church that the Kings are part of when they're not up here with us. And then on Sunday afternoon, able to participate in the memorial service for his dad who had passed away. It was all good. And good to be back. This next week we're going to be traveling to Michigan. Something about our grandson born, Stefan. Look forward to that. Last week, or the last time I was here, I know Josh did a great job last week. But the last time I was here, we talked about the three-part nature of man. Focused a little bit about man's nature. And this Sunday, I want to turn to the first chapter of John, Gospel of John. I want to talk about the nature of Jesus. A little bit about the nature of Jesus. And I think we're going to, in the next couple weeks, stay in the Gospel of John a little bit. So, but today's message, Jesus, the Word, Creator, and Light. If you'll turn there in first chapter of John, let's read the first 18 verses. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born of the not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him, and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. John, this is called the prologue to his gospel. And I read these words and I think this guy was a fisherman. The way he writes, the words he uses, certainly we could say just like those who had in their day trying to capture him, trying to put the disciples down and everything, made the comment, they could tell that they had been with Jesus. And I think that's the case here with John. To write these beautiful words, to write these lofty concepts, John, you can tell, was close to Jesus. When we start reading this, the first thing it reminds me of is Genesis 1. One, how the Bible starts. In the beginning, God created. And here we've got, in the beginning was the Word. What does that mean? What does it mean What does the word "word" mean? The word is in Greek is logos, and I think we've all heard of that. But and there's other words. Boy, there's other words for word in the New Testament. But this has a particular meaning, logos. It's the idea of expression, the expression or communication of the mind or thought or an idea or purpose. Word, the word means the communication or expression of the mind, a thought, an idea or purpose. And that's who Jesus is when it comes to the Godhead. He's the word. He's the expression of the idea, of the purpose, of the thought, of the mind of God. Another the second phrase in the first verse, and the word was with God. This idea, or this word with, is another strong word with some strong meaning. It has the idea of being in close communion, not just with alongside, but with in close communion. The idea of face-to-face, a very intimate picture. And the word was with God. And then it says the word was God. You ever been visited by a Jehovah's Witness? I knew this was years ago. I was in Bible college. And one of their basic tenets is that Jesus was a God, but not the God. He wasn't part of the Trinity. They don't believe in the Trinity. They think, because there's other uses of the word, even for people, even for mankind, to be called gods. Even Jesus cites an instance where humans in the scripture are called a god. And that's how they use it. They would, in sense, in the Greek construction, there's not a definite article before the word God. In other words, it doesn't say, and the word was the God. Then they would take the liberty to say, and insert the word a, and the word was a God. And based upon that, one, that being one of their primary beliefs, they've produced, they're Jehovah's Witnesses, in order to make that sell, in order to make that effective, they write all of their teaching material. Because basically you can't, if you take the scripture in context, over and over again, the idea that Jesus is just a God is not found there. That's a false belief. I remember when we got visited by Jehovah's Witness one time when I was in college, fresh from 2 or 3 years of Greek. Well, I'm going to straighten these guys out. Two guys, a young one and an older one. I said, yeah, come on over. In fact, we set an appointment. I said, you know, I'm busy right now, but if you come back on such a time, let's sit down and talk. And I had this ready. To the point when we start our discussion and I got into this idea of Greek construction, other examples where there isn't a definite article and how it means God himself and those sort of things. For some reason, our little interview, because the younger student of this pair started asking questions of me, and the older Jehovah's Witness said, well, we've got to go. And so they made a hasty retreat. But I counted that as a victory. I thought that was great. Be careful of the cults. Be careful of those who would need to write all their own materials to make you understand the truth. That's one surefire way to know they aren't orthodox in their teaching. But back to this, the Word was God. This is also made clear in Hebrews, first chapter, verses 1 through 3. It says, God, having of old time spoken unto the fathers in the prophets by diverse portions and in diverse manners, hath at the end of these days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the effulgence of his glory and the very image, effulgence. Now that's a interesting word. How about he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. Again, very clear, strong statement of the equality, the ability to stand face to face within the Godhead, to have that close communion and union in it. Also, Colossians 2 gives us the same idea. Colossians 2 and verse 9. For in him, talking about Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. So again, a very clear picture from Scripture that Jesus is God, is part of the Godhead. He's the Word, though. He's termed the expression of God. And we can understand how that really fits. Jesus came and showed us truly who God is. Well, Jesus, the Word in verse 3, also it says, this word is the Creator. He was the Creator. All things came into being by him. Apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And again, Colossians 1, 16 and 17, Paul expresses the same idea. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This Word is also the Creator. Yeah, it's interesting that to me that in that Colossian passage, and not just the physical creation of the universe and the trees and the flowers and our bodies and so on, but the invisible things like thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. God's the one who decided about freedom. God's the one who decided about dominions, ruling, about concepts and how they work and the proper ideas behind them. Not just the physical, but also those ideas. Love originated with God. Caring, character, all these things originate from God. They were created by God as part of his creative acts. Now, what does this mean, that Jesus is Creator? Think for a minute with me about what do we know about creation? What we know about creation. And specifically how it works. Like, how many different sciences are there? The study of God's creation. How many different kinds of sciences? I looked this up online. On one side, I counted 76 different sciences. Another one had 200 different sciences. Things that you could go to college for and study about this creation and become an expert. Another site had 633 different ones, sciences dedicated to the creation and what we see and observe around us. Just within the human body, is focusing on the human body and its creation. There's 11 or 12, depending on how they get lumped together, different systems within the human body. Systems. Things that, like the digestive system, the cardiovascular system, the skeletal system, the muscular system, endocrine system, nervous system, respiratory system, reproductive system, urinary system, immune lymphatic system, and here's one, integumentary system. Now, I didn't know about that one, but that's the skin, the organs of the skin, the hair, the nails, and the exocrine glands. Exocrine glands, what are those? Well, those are the glands that emit sweat and oil and wax. And any one of these things you could go into in a lifetime of study to try to understand these systems. And in fact, you could become an expert, maybe. And yet, even today, you ask experts in these fields if they understand everything that's going on. They say no. No, in any one system. I'm not even talking about the ear and its function. I'm not even talking about the eye as a single organ and its complexity and how it works and how it's designed and how it does what it's designed to do. I'm not talking about kidneys. I'm not talking about the spleen. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about systems that are so integrated and work together so well, their individual parts. And then you've got 11 or 12 of them in the human body that are working as a unit. Jesus Christ, if we think about this as a creator, as the Word, as the expression of idea and purpose, Jesus Christ knew these things, all of them, before they were even created. They were all known by God in his mind before he even created. And we're not, even if we just talk about the human body, we're not talking about the universe. We're not talking about all of these other bugs and plants and systems within nature. Jesus Christ knew all of these things before creation became the creator. You know what? We need to think about what it means when we say God is the creator. I have no doubt we all believe that. But do you know what that means about Jesus? A lot of times we have a small God and we have big problems. But if we have a big God, we have small problems. Does Jesus understand? People sometimes, we get in situations where we wonder, where's God at? Does he know what's going on? Oh my word, does he know what's going on? He knows what's going on. He has purposes. He has the ability to control and it says by the word of his power, he rules this universe and over these things. Jesus is creator. Well, the passage also says that Jesus is light. In verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness. Darkness did not comprehend it. Light, another interesting concept behind the word light. Light is is energy, as is spoken here. You know, we know it's more than just a light. Jesus is more than just a light. He is light. He is light. He's energy. He's the illuminating power. That's what light does. It enables sight. Light enables sight. And I appreciate that more and more as my eyes age, how much more I need brighter light to be able to see what's in front of me. Light enables sight. It's not individual lights, and the creation teaches us something about that. In Genesis, again, in the kind of a parallel passage to John 1 here, God speaks and light is created. But then we find out the actual source of light that we're used to, like the sun and the moon, isn't created until later on, several days later. God first creates light, an energy, a power, illuminating power, enabling sight. Not only does it allow our eyes to see, though, this word used in the Bible, not only does it help our physical eyes, but it's also used in the sense of enlightening us. It's enabling sight that reaches our minds. We're able to comprehend, like we give the expression, "Oh, I see now." And what we mean is, "Oh, now I understand." Understanding to our minds. That's what the idea behind this light is. John 14, chapter 14 of the same gospel. Verse 21. In our desire to be enlightened, to be able to know, to be able to see God, how do we do that? How are we able to see God? If Jesus, this word, is bringing illumination to us, how does he do that? Well, in verse 21 of chapter 14, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. So here we, even Jesus claims what John is saying, that this word is the light. He's the one who brings enlightenment to us. And he gives us a pathway to that. If you love him, if we love him, we'll keep his word, we'll keep his commandments before our eyes. God will love us, Jesus will love us, and he will show us himself. Another passage, it says, if you seek me, you'll find me. You'll seek me with your whole heart. Jesus is spoken of in the scripture as the all in all. The all in all. And certainly that's true. We've talked about him being the Word. We talk about him being the Creator, the Light. But it also mentions here in this passage, in verse 4, it says, I want to go back to this, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. This idea of life is the idea of, it's the Greek word zoe, and it's the principle or the essence of life. It's not talking about an individual life. It's talking about life in principle. He is life in principle. He is the essence of life. He is life as God knows it. And there are several passages where Jesus claims that as well. Not only does John express it, but Jesus claims it, like in John 5, 21. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone. Or verse 26 as well. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And again, we go back to Genesis in the account. In Genesis, and it in chapter 2, it says how, in verse 7, it says how they breathed man, they created a body for man, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Life itself is Jesus, is in Jesus' control. It's in God's control. It's in Jesus' control. But we have chosen against God. Again, the creation account, the fall. We decided rather than go by God's instruction, God's direction, God's blessing, that we would go it alone and we would decide what's good and evil. We would go on our own and we'd go against God. Because of that, we got separated from this life that's in God. Remember how the rebellion took place. Curse was pronounced upon mankind. And then God had a conversation that went something like, wait a minute, we need to take him out of the garden because in the garden is the tree of life. And if he gets to that tree and eats, he'll live in this condition forever. That can't happen. So he drove them out of the garden and he set a guard of angels there so that man could not get back in access to that tree of life. But then we go clear to the end of Scripture in Revelation. And again, it talks about in that place where God dwells, where he's bringing us, where he wants us to come with him. Again, we see the tree of life there available, where we can have life eternally as God intended it. He's the one with life, though. We've chosen against him, but he's provided a path back to himself that we can have access to that life. He's given us his word, a written word that gives us that pathway and that we can come back. Again, how big is your God? What's he like? Do you realize we have access through prayer to this person? Do we know when we pray, that's who we're praying to? Do we know when we open his word and read his words, that's who we're talking to? We're talking to Jesus, we're talking to God, the one who is the word, the one who is the creator, and all that that means, the one who is life, the one who is light. Big God, little problems. Little God, big problems. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word that reveals to us what you're like. If you had not inspired John and others to write these words, we would be, again, still trying to understand, floundering around, trying to figure it all out. And yet you've clearly identified Jesus, our Lord and Savior, as that one that we come to, as that one who is able to give us life as intended, abundantly. I pray that we might have a desire to know him. We might have the desire to follow him, to love him, to follow what he's written. Bless us now in this time that we think about these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.